Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, it's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. On a Football Friday, we are gearing up for Texans-Bills coming up on Sunday at noon. And today has been a wild Football Friday, John.
Now, Newsy.
Newsy is definitely one way to put it. There's been all sorts of things happening, and all of those injury notes and potential movement when it comes to the solutions to those injuries have made it so that the matchups have gotten only more interesting on what I'm calling the game of the week in this weekend of the NFL. There's going to be a ton of people looking at this on CBS nationally at noon. And so I kind of want to dig into what the matchups are in the course of this that are really intriguing and interest us. And, of course, we'll be supported by the coordinators who talked yesterday about this matchup. So Bobby Slowick, Matt Burke both had some interesting things. But when it comes down to it, I think, first and foremost, everybody is really, really interested in this run game, in this Texans run game.
Yeah, and look, I feel like, we said it got more interesting. Anybody just happened to be joining us right now, as you mentioned, it'll be the Cam Akers and Damian Pierce show. How does that play out is a big question. But they have to run the ball. And, especially with them being down, them being the Bills down to huge defensive linemen, in Ed Oliver and Von Miller, you have to run the ball. I don't necessarily think the formula is run first, pound, pound, first down, second down, but I think you ultimately have to run the ball.
Yeah, and when you do it, you need to be effective at
right.
it, especially because when it comes to these first 4 weeks, if you're looking at the efficiency, the Bills are literally one of the absolute worst efficiency-wise in defense. Now, some of that is like been their concern nearly as much as other things, but also they just have not been great at making that happen. And so outside of the Cowboys, who are absolutely the worst at stopping the run, or at least at the efficiency of the run against other teams, the Bills are second worst when it comes to efficiency wise. And they're bottom 10 when it comes to the potential success rate, right? So like what a successful play is, depending on what the game, what the situation is gaining a certain amount of the yards to go to put yourself in a good place to move forward. And as you know, this Texas team has not been successful in that way. They've been one of literally the worst at getting themselves into good situations in third and shorts.
What did the Texter tell you? There's no such thing as a good run defense against the Texans.
Yeah, I think that was actually on Twitch.
There's no such
thing as a bad run defense when you're playing the Texans, and I sure hope not, right? Like, this is a game where you need to absolutely, if you can't do it here, I'm going to have, I feel like there's going to be an answer on that. You probably can't do this anywhere unless you had Joe Mixon out here doing it by his lonesome, and that is not successful, as Bobby Slowick has detailed time and time again, that you need this run game for this offense to work about as good as you want. And so this feels like a must in your matchup, which I guess in now it is Cam Akers and Damian Pierce obviously rejoining, and maybe some Dalray, but those guys and the offensive line versus this very, very poor, at least when it comes to statistically, Bills defense, we're stopping the run.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind also that, as much as the Bills defense looks susceptible to the run, they also got shredded by Derrick Henry. Like, it is just a four-game sample, and so they, that one game might have skewed some things, but still, the numbers are what they are. They did get shredded by the Ravens.
And before that game, I told you, like, even in those analytics as well, they were 28th, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely made it worse, but they were already bad, and so you've got to be able to take advantage of that. Now, some of this defensively for the Bills is they play a lot of too high. In fact, I think that they play, let me see if I can look at my statistic one more time. They've utilized the cloud coverage as the highest rate in the NFL this season, which is about 41%. So like they're playing a lot of too high safeties. They're not, and that's kind of what the Texans are used to seeing, that they've seen a whole bunch of that. In fact, what was I talking about before we came into season is that they might, CJ Stroud might get the Patrick Mahomes treatment.
They are
that
getting
way, and you're getting that. And so the run game is going to matter there, but I think also the quick passing game. Somebody asked earlier, didn't we learn last year that passing to help the run is something that you can do with this Texans team? And I don't know if the quick passing game will help is to set up the run, but at least can help you kind of subsidize or help with getting some of that quick run, yardage and getting the ball to your playmakers in space and letting them go for it. I think that that might be something that's helpful in this game.
And keep in mind, the Bills run that too high, the split safeties, more than anybody in an NFL, in a league, that everybody's going to that now. You know, everybody's running the too high safety, and they run it more than anybody. So that speaks to me of Dalton Schultz, the intermediate game. Tank Dell. We need a Tank Dell game with the great precise running that he does over the middle and underneath. Hell, Dare. Dare fed him. I mean, he ate, as the kids like to say, in that type of scenario. So those three guys, to me, are going to be crucial in this.
You mentioned Tank. Tank, obviously, mm-hmm. seems like he's going to return from dealing with the bruised rib situation that he had. And Bobby Slowick actually yesterday talked about Tank Dell's importance and how you get him going in this offense.
Yeah, Tank's fast. There's people that you say are fast, but Tank's a different level of speed that you feel on the field. You know, Nico... I think Nico hits GPS that other people on our team like rarely, if ever, hit. So, without a doubt, Nico's fast. Also, it just feels different when it's Tank. Something about his stride, his turnover, it gets on DBs very, very quickly. And when you can run the route tree the way he runs it, and get in and out of breaks like he can get in and out of breaks, and how fast he comes out of them, like that just becomes really hard to cover really fast. So the more we can help isolate him when needed, and in particular when teams are taking away Nico, when they're taking away Steph, when they're worried about other matchups on Dalton, it's just a great way for us to isolate a one-on-one that we have supreme confidence in.
Man, I love that. I just love the candor, first of all, because he was very, very precise on what Tank does and what he expects him to do, but also because it fits this game plan, at least from where I'm sitting, perfectly.
Yeah.
Like perfectly. Tank, his route running is just incredible. And then you add to that, as he put it in an interesting way, he gets on the DBs quicker than it seems, than it looks. That's exactly what you need against this team.
Yeah, close that cushion quickly, put them in some tough situations. But one more thing on the too high safety thing is, I think also the reason why this is interesting, and I think you've seen kind of, we talked about it in the CJ Stroud talking yesterday, is the maturity that he's brought with deciding to not, try and test the defense deep, but taking that check down. And as he put it, trusting his teammates to make plays, right? And that's what you highlighted with that, the check down that he had to Dare, where Dare then gets up here, man, shows up a little bit of wiggle, a little bit of a foot speed for himself.
More than anybody thought.
Right, exactly. But that you're allowed to see that because CJ is like, I am going to trust the system. I'm going to trust my guys. And instead of like trying to fit something into a window as he would maybe last year and earlier, you showing a little bit more maturity to being like, okay, I know that I can take this situation. He has space and he'll go and make a play as I don't have to make all the plays on my arm.
Yeah.
And I think that will give him an opportunity to be really successful.
Yeah. I think Tank, Dalton Schultz, and then the run game, and then stretching the field, then splitting the safeties, then getting Nico over the top. It's going to be interesting and fascinating to watch, but I think it's going to be key.
Another thing that's fascinating here when it comes to matchups in this game, defensive line versus Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Right? Inherently, and we were talking to ND yesterday, and inherently, when you have a guy of his caliber, but also his mobility, a guy who has made a whole bunch of plays. In fact, I think he's 7 of 17 on passes outside the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He can continue to extend a play, and even while he's extending a play, he can then still uncork it and make you pay. It's going to be imperative on this defensive line to contain him as best as possible, but also to get pressure in there and sack him. Obviously the Ravens did a great job at that. I don't know that I'm going to say, hey, go beat the Baltimore Ravens in this game, but it's going to be a lot on this defensive line to do it, and it only gets more difficult because we've seen that there's certain guys depth-wise that aren't practicing.
Yeah, that's one of the low-key kind of huge things in this game. No Derek Barnett at practice today. We'll get the ultimate injury report here maybe before the show ends, but no Derek Barnett, no Jerry Hughes. Those are your backups. I mean, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. One of the questions I had, not a criticism, but a question this week. They got 4 sacks in 4 weeks. They've had some pressures though. you got to finish the job. And by the way, hydrate, because you know, you're going to get a lot of snaps.
Yeah, get some potassium. Like, how are we getting potassium? I know that in my head, I still go, oh yeah, eat some bananas. But I know that there's probably better ways that they get that into the electrolytes that they are necessary.
Hydrate.
The but yes, absolutely, because those guys are gonna. There's going to be a lot of work for them, and especially because they've done good job pressuring. But we've been waiting for them to also get home and
finish
some ways.
It. Yeah, finish
and so
it.
All of those things all lay at their feet.
Against a big dude.
A big dude, one of those really hard to tackle guys. Yeah. And so a lot of things that are there for the defensive line that way. But just overall, it's going to be tough. The secondary linebackers against the Bills running backs and tight ends are also a thing. Matt Burt, defense coordinator for this team, was asked about, you know, the difficulty, the threat rather, that the Bills running backs and tight ends pose. This is Matt Burt talking about this is actually the cut one there for you. But yeah, Matt Burt was asked about the threat that the Bills running back and tight ends pose.
Yeah, great players. Great. And, you know, if you think, like, I would say they're sort of triangle of, you know, Shakir in the slot and then the tight end in the back, sort of those inside pieces. They're huge weapons for them. And, you know, they try to get those guys in the matchups that they want. Back's a really good receiver, explosive with the ball in his hands. Tight ends obviously become a huge weapon for them as well. So, I think it's just part of their sort of philosophy of working some of the inside part of the field with those guys and trying to get those guys in mismatches. And like I said, part of, like, to me, you know, them getting the ball out of his hands fairly quickly, just it's like, let's get into a good spot and let those guys do some work. So sort of us closing space and challenging those guys and closing for tackles and tracking those things are going to be big because, you know, in some case, you can't take away. Like, they can throw some screens and just get the ball in those guys' hands, and we have to be good on the perimeter and sort of defending that piece for sure.
It's a swarm game. You got to swarm to the football because the Bills are literally top five efficiency-wise when they get the ball out quickly. You're going to have to make sure you wrap up and tackle. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem.
And he said he said Shakir, but there is no Shakir.
Which that does helps. Ease this down a little bit.
Curtis Samuel will be backing him up, so I'm guessing he'll get a rep. But they're going to be kind of – in Buffalo right now, they might be saying the same things that we're saying about, you know, the running back, as you just heard, with Cook. But also, they have a really good tight end.
They actually have two.
Yeah, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid is who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But they're gonna, like, it's almost like mirror images. How do you get to this defense? They're saying the same thing.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a really interesting challenge, making sure the secondary handles that. Are you still concerned about the potential of a deep play? We talked about that earlier. That being something that the defense has remained susceptible to, and especially it became visible for us when Trevor Lawrence mailed some passes that probably could have really hurt you and been big plays that you were not hurt by. Mm-hmm. Are you still concerned about that, especially knowing that Khalil Shakir is not going to play in this one?
I think you're concerned about the big play in every game you play.
Sure,
but what I'm concerned about specifically to that is missed tackles. You know, like, you know, we haven't really mentioned the safeties here. Keon Coleman is on that squad.
Yeah.
He makes people miss. You know, Dalton Kincaid is a very, you know, elusive tight end, if there is such a thing. He I don't know what his yards per after catch are, but I know he's good at it. And I'm worried about the missed tackles as much as anything for the big plays.
Yeah. So I think all of those things are coming into play when it comes to this matchup. It's a huge matchup for the Texans against the Bills. And again, another measuring stick type game. You failed pretty miserably the first one, and also being clean, right? Again, that comes up as a matchup of the Texans versus the Texans, and taking that matchup off the board, maybe. It's the phrase that we've heard all week, the last couple of weeks, really. As D'Amico Ryan said, if the Texans aren't beating the Texans, you have a chance to compete. And so that one also is a matchup they got to take off the board.
Man, we haven't even talked about that today. You know, the Texans beating the Texans.
That's right.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, so excited. Noon, really 8 repping H-Town game versus the Bills at NRG Stadium. Pre-game starts at 9 a.m. with Sean and Seth here on Sports Radio 610. I'm jonesing for it, man.
Oh, no, it's gonna be an incredible scene. Great tailgating, next level matchup, the biggest game in the NFL this week. It's gonna be awesome.
Gonna be incredible, especially if the Texans take care of what they need to take care of. All right, coming up next in the loop. Let's talk about our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, talk about keeping it real. Now, hear me out.
Okay. All right. Okay. People say that. Keeping it real about to go wrong.
Hear me out. I'm all for, 100% for, the blue alerts that you get on your phone.
Uh-oh. Blue alerts? Wait, hold on.
Did your phone go off at 4:50 this morning?
So I cut mine off years ago. So I don't get any Amber alerts or any type of alerts.
Did your phone go off at 4:50 this morning?
If it did, I didn't know.
A lot of people's phones went off.
I sleep heavy, man.
Loud.
I sleep heavy.
I do too, but loud. I'm all for it. But Memphis, Texas, there was a blue alert.
Where is Memphis, Texas?
Well, I looked it up. It's an 8-hour drive from Houston. Can't we just make it like a 100-mile radius or something? I mean, you got to have the blue alert.
Oh, it's up in the Panhandle.
It's up by Amarillo. Amarillo by morning is literal from Houston. I mean, it's literal. I'm like, I'm not anti Amber alert, blue alert, whatever alert. But, dude, keep it a 100-mile radius. I got to get my sleep.
I am also not anti the alert. I just question how its efficacy. I question how effective it's ultimately going to be.
I mean, what was the alert? Like, somebody just missing? Or it was
some
like a
dude
killer?
Was on the run that hurt a cop. Now, obviously,
that's the blue alert. Gotcha. Okay. Because the amber is children.
Yeah. Yes.
The silver is for an old person.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I gotcha.
But... am I supposed to go to my front porch and say, hey, Seth, are you out here? I think his name was Seth. I'll double check.
Oh, good.
I mean, like, I'm 8-hour drive away from it, man. I mean, a compromise, 100-mile radius.
Okay? I mean, people in that area, what you say, Memphis?
Memphis, Texas.
People in that area definitely should have got that alert.
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit scary, especially if you in that area.
Yeah.
His name was Seth. Yeah, Seth. Hey, are you out here? Okay, I'm going. You're not. I'm going back
to
bed.
Not Payne. I just want to make that abundant. No, we are not talking about Seth Payne.
Yeah. Or unless you got some type of alert or tip that he was in Houston or something.
How? It happened at 4:50 in the morning. Houston, did he morph his way into Houston?
I don't know, man.
Seth Altman. Be on the lookout, by the way. I don't know if they caught him yet. But, yeah. At Memphis, Texas, up by Amarillo, in the Panhandle.
I mean, I appreciate the alert system. It's good to be able to get alerts, especially in a day and age where not everybody's, tapped into the same things. What everybody seems to have is a phone.
Yeah.
So I get it. I always just wonder, like, how many people are, like, internalizing that information? Because I know for me, like, oh, well, here's the license plate. I'm never going to remember that license plate. And I'm also not checking license plates as I'm driving and, like, running them on the mental bank of,
I don't even remember my own damn license plate. I know I ain't remembering nobody else's.
And maybe you go to the description of the car or whatever, but yeah.
I'm looking at some of the comments on here. Hey, Seth, why can't you act right? You got to wake up the whole damn state.
Hey, he was probably up around that time too.
Yeah. Yeah. Our Seth, you mean?
Getting ready for Payne and Pendergast.
I'm just saying.
So we had two guys named Seth that was up around that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correlation?
Is that no, what you're God.
Doing I don't know what you're doing. I mean, he did say he got hit on the head and has like bruised root. What was he doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. This story is starting. You know what?
Uh oh.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Yeah, we might need to check on him.
Yeah.
See what he's up to. But here, my confession actually is Seth related. In fact, it's Seth and Sean related. I feel like we probably need to have medical professionals on call during the morning show. Because it sounds like Seth has had himself a rough week.
It's been a rough week for Seth.
Like one or two head injuries.
Well, it was at Chipotle. He got turned into a bloody mess.
Yeah, he got hit by like one of those barrier arms walking out of a parking garage.
Yeah.
And then I think last night it just sounded like he had a hell of a time. He fell out and passed out a couple times.
Thinks he broke
of
a
dehydration.
Rib. Well, you've seen him walking around here. He looks like Fred Sanford.
Walking is generous.
Yeah.
He is almost hobbling around.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add on top of that something that I don't think the listener knows anything about, which is Sean. I don't know if he could hear. Because every time Lopez steps into the position where they both happen to broadcast from, when he plugs in his headphones, it sounds like he like a rock concert just started.
It's bad.
Yeah. And I'm like, yo, are our guys in the morning okay?
Sean is deaf.
Yeah.
Sean is deaf. And I happened to be leaning down where my headphones were when I plugged it in, and it went, wow! I was like screaming into my ear.
Like, I never before have wondered if an independent neurologist would have been needed in radio.
Yeah.
But today's the day where I'm like, hey, we need to check.
They need a house nurse.
Yeah, we need somebody that's like, somebody that outside of the room that's not just going to listen to Seth go say, I'm okay, but like, hey, we are seeing signs that you might need some help today. because that's how I was feeling today.
So yesterday I was watching Thursday Night Football, and it was a pretty good game, man. Like, this was probably one of the best Thursday Night Football games in quite some time, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It was a delight.
Great game.
Yeah, great game. As much as I was impressed by the way Atlanta made that pass and spiked the ball in record time,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping they missed that field goal, man. this is why. I was sleepy, man. I ain't want no overtime. I was standing up waiting for the game to be over so I could go to bed.
Oh, you were already halfway out the room.
I was ready, man. I had my hands on my hip, right in front of the TV.
Ready to walk.
Yep, remote in my hand. So as soon as you missed that field goal, cool.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I was thinking, I actually told my wife this morning, you know, they ruined my sleep pattern. They ruined my sleep pattern last night. Because she went to bed. She was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was
out. Yeah, I was sitting there. I'm like, you know what? I don't care how the game ends. Like, I enjoy what I've seen so far. So I don't give a damn. Like, these teams don't matter to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So by the time I did get to the bed, I seen they had, like, a game-winning drive, like a big-time play. So I'm like, I could have...
Yeah, you wouldn't have had to stayed up that much longer, but you didn't know for certain, and the way that game had played out, there was no guarantees that a touchdown would have come through after in the second half and further. So I think he played it fair. Watch this.
These are my confessions. We're gonna have a college football segment later, but one thing you can know: College Game Day, Cal Berkeley for the first time ever.
Yeah,
they're gonna be at Cal Berkeley, and. Usually this is a common argument on social media. Okay, who's going to be the guest picker? Who's going to be the guest picker? There is only one choice. There is on, and it ain't Aaron Rodgers who went to Cal. There is only one choice.
Across the field.
It's
Marshawn Lynch, not Desmond Bishop. Two number 10s on this Cal team.
Marshawn Lynch cruising across the field after a big win in that cart.
They can cuss on ESPN, right? So
They have. I don't know if they can, but they have.
I mean, Pat McAfee be doing it all the time. They can cuss on ESPN.
On game day?
Not on game day. I know that's a standards thing, but they'll let them do it.
Yeah. Well, in the when they were here, I think an F-bomb got dropped.
Heck, Nick Saban cursed already this season. They'll cuss on the TV.
But it's got to be Marshawn.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be Marshawn.
And it will be Marshawn. They've already announced that it's Marshawn.
It's got to be Marshawn. He's actually on the screens right now. Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting him ready. I feel like McAfee, knowing that they're gonna have that conversation, they're gonna talk tomorrow. He's like, "Hey, you want to do the show as well?" Which is smart booking.
Yes, it is. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I don't ever want to hear Al Michaels or Kirk Herbstreit talk about the Swag Surf ever again.
The Swag Surf
ever again. And now the game Thursday night was in Atlanta. And Atlanta is a very particular cultural phenomenon, and they were swag surfing, and they was actually swag surfing well.
No, it looked fun.
It looked like it was for the most part. It looked like a delight in the stands.
So you don't want Al Michaels commenting on that?
No, I do not. And it's not because they're white, but it was because the way that they handled it. Kirk Herbstreit's like, you've seen this in college football, as if to say that college football started this, and I was like, oh no, baby, we're not doing that. Like, I feel like we need to appreciate the fact that. Like, no, Atlanta has been swag surfing for a very long time, friends. Like, this isn't just them swagger jacking off of college football.
They made it look so fun, man. Like, I got to thinking about this too when I seen that, because we've been having conversations about people at the Astros game doing the wave.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, some people like it, some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into arguments about that. I was thinking, like, dang, it would be cool if we could swag surf at the Astros game, but I don't know if that would look right. I don't think it hit the same as Atlanta doing it.
I don't know. What do you think?
What, Houston swag, sir?
Yeah. If the, so the takeaway, the wave from the Astros game, which happens every game, we start doing swag surfing. But I don't think it would look. It would hit the same.
It just
it's Atlanta.
It's got to have that feel of the place there.
I think a lot of people probably not even familiar with the song like that. But just being in Atlanta,
I think at this point people that, have gotten know it. But I mean, Kirk Herbstreit knows it now.
Yeah, but just being in Atlanta,
Al Michaels.
Yeah, but just being in Atlanta, knowing that song was big in Atlanta.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think it won't hit as much here.
What do we think about this, especially on a repping H-Town Sunday? Wesley on the YouTube says you got to do the South Side.
I think that's a must. I think that should be Houston swag surf.
All right, I like what we're doing here. You want to connect me up with Hannah? We can get this set up.
It should be halftime, and you know when they score or something, they should play Lil Kiki Southside.
Exactly. I like what we're doing there. I think we're figuring some things out.
I saw B. Scott doing that the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
He's good.
He's good at it. Yeah, that's why I said that.
So we saw the video. We actually talked about the new H-Town Blue video that Houston Texans released with Bruce Matthews. And I gotta admit, man, I gotta confess, I took pride in trolling a little bit because I actually retweeted, said, "Wow, Titans legend is narrating this."
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to go after anybody from Houston or nothing like that. Like, I know the history.
Oh, I responded to your tweet.
Good bait.
Yeah,
good.
I know.
Did you catch any fish?
No. Well, that's the one thing I like about this troll, that you had some of the old heads that was like, "Oh, you're too young. You don't know about that."
I knew what you were doing.
Yeah, but I was really doing this because a lot of Tennessee fans just feel like, "Hey, this is our history," which I guess technically it is.
I mean, the franchise, but no, it's Houston's.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm like, "Wow, somebody from the Titans is narrating a Houston Texans video." Yeah. Wow, that's where I was going with it. But I kind of take pride of people trying to school me, trying to say, "Oh, he's too young to know about." No kidding. I had no idea Bruce Matthews played for the Houston. Well, really? Wow. I thought he played for the Titans.
I saw you working. I knew what you were doing.
Yeah. I take pride in that sometimes.
All right. Another successful Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Man, excited. Excited for our eventual South Side. Somebody said from the 346, North Side don't do the South Side. Come on. I got being difficult, man.
What do y'all do? What do the North Side do?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm not from there.
Whatever they do, they should do it there.
I mean, all right. I shouldn't have said it like that. I got love from the North Side, but I am also I'm very much not from there. But yeah, it's in the Loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about college football. Or maybe this weekend that won't be in college football. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
We'll talk about it next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reggie Atitula hanging out with you on a Football Friday. We are super excited for the Reppin' H-Town game. For your Houston Texans, they welcome in the Buffalo Bills, and it is the talk of the town. It's probably the talk of the league in the NFL. So we'll get back into that, and probably we'll determine what we think is going to be the end-all, be-all, the deciding factors in the game next segment. But right now, the weekend in college football that kind of won't be, I've already taken my look at this weekend, and I was like, huh, that'd be a great day to get some stuff done, huh?
Nah, man, I'm here for you. I'm going to make this interesting for you, okay?
Okay, you're going to try and make the weekend interesting for me.
Remember last week I was talking about, I guess I'm making this a thing, and whether you want me to or not, like those hack college football phrases, the headlines, they always, slogans, whatever, they always put on games, you know, rivalry weekend, you know, get right Saturday. So I'm going to do that every Saturday for every weekend. The hackish college football slogan for this week: "You sure about that Saturday?"
Okay.
You sure about that? I know they're not going to be necessarily great, but are you sure about that Saturday? So the really And this is not self-serving.
Okay.
The game of the week in college football is Missouri at A&M.
It's one of the better ones out there.
It is.
It is one of the better ones out there.
It's the only ranked game between ranked teams. And here's where you're sure about that comes into play. The Aggies are going to probably go with Connor Wegman, very highly regarded quarterback that stunk it up against Notre Dame.
Interesting. Going back to Wegman. Honestly, I do wonder how important that quarterback decision is, and I know that sounds asinine to talk about football and say, I don't know how important it is. That A&M team is going to be a defense-first team.
Defense-first.
And to be fair, we all should have expected that because that's what Elko did at Duke. Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame and A&M.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a head coach, right? Because, like, as a defense coordinator, of course, he's going to be making sure that defense is good. But, like, as a head coach, it was still, like, defense leads. Like, the defense is going to be good and it should be good as a defensive-minded head coach. But it's like, the offense, we'll do what we can on that side. That's cool. But the defense is what's going to be getting us wins in a sense. And they're living up to that right now at A&M.
And this is where I say, you sure about that? Marcel Reed, he is not the most accurate passer in the world, but he is efficient and he can run. And he gave him some life offensively with Wegman hurt. So, going to be interesting. Missouri's a really good team. Their schedule has been somewhat iffy, but they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure like if they're nearly as good as they were last year. They still have Luther Burden. That dude is a bad boy
as a wide receiver.
But I don't know if he's going to be enough. But
Got to have time to throw, too.
Absolutely.
That Aggie rush is killer. All right, here's another one. You sure about that? Ole Miss is looking for a bounce back at South Carolina. They still fancy themselves. They were talking about it, Lane Kiffin this week, about being a playoff team no matter what. South Carolina beat Kentucky. That's the team you lost to last Saturday. Probably should have beat LSU.
That's a 3-1 South Carolina team.
Their only loss is a horrible loss. Didn't they lose to, let's see, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was a bad loss. But they had LSU flat out beat, if not for a couple of bad calls. They beat Kentucky. Kentucky just beat Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is going to South Carolina. Not necessarily in these parts. A huge game that everybody wants to watch.
Tight loss to LSU was what it was.
That was the only one. Okay, well then I must have been thinking of someone else.
No, they put the beat down on Akron.
Yeah, they're good. So here's another one. You sure about that? Miami is just sort of kind of getting penciled in as a playoff contender in the AC coming out of the ACC. You saw Friday night's game. It was last Friday night. We talked about it against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and I was real dismissive of it, and I was wrong to do so. Virginia Tech was out there. They were playing some good football.
Yeah, Virginia Tech's playing. And you're playing Cal. That's the one I was thinking of. They lost to Florida State, and that's their only loss. Cal lost somehow to Florida State, but they've beaten some good squads.
Yeah, Cal has been a really interesting team, and it's also come along with this like weird bit. You know, Cal is out there in California. Berkeley is a pretty progressive place, I guess.
Yeah.
To dip my toe very carefully into the politics of this, and they've been leaning into. You know how people are like, oh man, being woke, whatever. They have leaned into that, and so they're doing a lot of like comrade memes and things in the college football space, and it's a very weird thing, which reminds you that college football, a place unlike any other professional sports in America.
Yeah.
But they're really leaning into that. So I've seen people describe this in kind of a Catholics and convicts-esque era as Coke versus woke. And so that element of this will also be kind of fun. But no, Cal is playing an unreasonably good standard of football compared to what Cal typically is.
They haven't given up more than 14 points against anyone. They haven't given up more than 14 points all year to a team. Cal. And here comes Miami. Here comes the Heisman contender, Cam Ward. Here comes College Game Day. Going to be a Cal. Be careful, Miami.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Especially now that we have a college football landscape that allows many of these cross-continental games where you're going smooth across the country to play games.
That's
another thing that could shift some of this. Although when you have an East Coast team fly west, it's not as bad as when you have the West Coast team with the 9 a.m. body clock game or whatever. But this is going to be, I think that's a fun one. And I'm glad you brought this up because I had not thought enough about that
game. That's what I'm here for, man.
I'm more interested in that game than I had remembered.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
Are you interested in this one? You sure about that? It's a national championship game rematch, baby. Michigan, Washington. Who's ready for that national championship rematch?
Wait, are they going to let Jay McMillan play again? Is Polk coming back in that game? Atlanta, they don't need Michael Penix right now. Can he come back and play?
Yeah, like, this is true.
Bring him back.
Let's Corum, let Corum bring Corum back. Hell,
bring Tom Brady back. Have him play for Michigan.
Have you ever seen a drop off in marquee value so significant? Not even in 1 year, in just a matter of months. It's Michigan, Washington, and I would rather watch Cal and Miami and Ole Miss and South Carolina than Michigan, Washington.
Agree. But that's a new era of college football that you're in where. Yeah. You're building a program is not as stable as it once was because your coach can go very quickly with all the alignment type things, and then your players can shift very quickly.
Very, very quickly. And then there's another one that kind of falls in the same category, although one team has really picked up its pace, and this is you sure about that? Clemson, Florida State is, it's got to be a get-right game for Mike Norvell. But Clemson got the socks beat off of them by Georgia in their opener. They've been pretty damn good since then.
Yeah.
Clemson's been pretty damn good. You got to give it to them for that. But, of course, the big story is if Florida State gets drubbed again. I mean.
Well, at the very least, in this instance, you wouldn't be able to blame it on DJ Uiagalelei, who is ruled out
Ukulele
for this game.
Is what I call him.
Yeah, but that's not his name, and I will try and say his name in this instance, even though he has not played in such a way where I think people probably aren't inclined towards trying to let him have his name fully pronounced in the way that
it
should be.
Oh, I don't mean it disrespectfully. I just can't say it the other way.
Well, some people do. Some people absolutely do, and I understand because he is one of the most frustrating types of players, which is you got all the tangibles. It's the intangibles that you absolutely do have no semblance of understanding on. Mm-hmm. He has gotten a lot of chances. Clemson. Where was it? Oregon State last year, and then now at Florida State, and on him plays his big old arm that he can't use for nothing.
Yeah,
and so that at least he is not going to be an issue, but all the other Florida State issues probably will still be there. That's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Other ones of note: Tennessee is my dark horse to win the whole damn thing. You know, I think.
Oh yeah, okay. I like what you're doing here.
I think it's going to be Alabama, obviously. Texas, obviously. Georgia's going to be in the mix.
I actually felt a lot better about Georgia after that game.
Yeah.
I think Georgia, they're taking their foot out, or they're stopping being in like first gear. Hey, rev this thing up and actually get out here and try and compete.
Ohio State's going to be in the mix. So there's those four that everybody's like, that's going to be the final four. Tennessee, if you haven't seen this squad, I mean, they can light it up. They've got a great head coach, great offense, great offense.
But the thing about it, they have an SEC defense this year.
Yes, yes.
And I think that should help them out greatly. So that'll be interesting in that regard.
And that's the night game against Arkansas, which Arkansas has been up and down, but they can run the ball. They gave A&M all they could handle last week and then some. And they are at Arkansas. This isn't a neutral site game, so. If Tennessee goes in there and just drubs the Razorbacks.
When? Sorry, Clint.
Yeah, no. When? But I'm talking about if they drub them, I'm going to feel real good. I think Tennessee might just win the whole damn thing.
Okay.
I really do. They've looked that good.
Are you clean here?
I'm clean.
Can I give you something to watch? I feel like every week you should be watching this particular gentleman. This name is obviously one that you should know in college football this year.
I think I know where you're going.
Ashton Jeanson.
Yes, sir.
And because he is the best running back in the nation, and he is just putting up all sorts of yards. And let me tell you, this is going to be not necessarily a interesting game, but this might be one of those, box score watch game. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just watch it to see what happens. Because Boise State is playing Utah State. And against the run, Utah State's defense is 125th.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Ashton Jeanson might put up 400.
He might put up 400 yards.
So that might be one of those.
I didn't notice that. That's a good catch.
Yeah. So especially on a week like this week where you have to find other ways to entertain yourself besides just like the good football game itself.
Yeah.
Watching one player just absolutely lay it on thick on a team might be of interest to you. So if that is the case, Boise State, Utah State, where Ashton GT might get a dead body.
And I can just feel people out there. Well, Boise State, who have they played? He put up 192 yards on Oregon.
Correct.
He put $192 on Oregon.
And if he does not end up in New York, it is a crime.
Oh, no. He has to.
Like, I don't think they'll actually give it to him because the Heisman Trophy is a...
I got a vote.
It's a whole thing. You do?
Oh, yeah. I've had a vote since, 1985.
All right. Well, let me not say the thing that I want to say on air. But he better be in New York.
Go
That's
ahead and say it.
Nope.
I can take it. Mm-mm. What's he going to say, Figgy?
I don't know.
Now you got to say it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-mm. That's not how this works.
You put it out there.
That's not how this works at all. But with all that being said, it's still one of those weeks where like...
Oh, who are these people that give this Heisman? But hey, man, I covered college football for 20 years.
Explains things. Yeah. No, but even with all that, it still feels like one of those Saturdays where if you got to go get something done, there's not much that you're really building your schedule around.
I know,
right?
I'm going to be cooking some ribs.
Yeah.
I guess that was a hint, huh? Figgy comes in, drops two slabs of ribs on this table.
Yeah,
get to work, old man.
Tells me about how much his wife likes my barbecue.
Yeah, let's go, man.
By the way, you know who's really, really happy?
Who?
All my kids.
Oh, really?
Because I said, well, I got to drop a couple other racks on
there.
You know, if you're going to be cooking.
I almost stopped at like Kroger or something just to get something.
Get a chicken.
Let me get a chicken. Maybe get some sausage.
And here's some links.
I texted the family. I said, I told them kind of the funny thing. You know, Figgy dropped these in. I think it's a hint. So I got to throw another couple on if anybody wants some. And they were like, thank you, Figgy.
This really is a great Saturday to grill.
Yeah.
Because these are games that you don't necessarily need to watch on the TV. These are games you can watch on the phone.
Yeah, you can come in and out.
Just kind of have the phone propped up next to the... Yeah. And just kind of have
I got that big TV back there anyway.
Well, not everybody is like you, though. Yes. You know, to be fair. But I'm glad that you're set up and that you'll be able to watch your Aggies in style.
Early game, too, 11 a.m. So that's right. My mood will shift by about 3 p.m. One way or the other.
I was going to say hopefully in a good way, but either way, I'll have someone that I can make fun of. I got a homeboy that went to Missouri, so that's always... And
nobody likes Missouri.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah. Missouri's a very... And I don't know, and I'm not exactly sure. I know they were great in basketball for a while.
Yeah, they had a nice run basketball-wise.
But why do so many people hate Missouri?
Well, I mean...
Because everybody like Kansas or Kansas State.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if everybody... Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of Kansas fans.
It's either Kansas State...
Have you ever tried to figure that out? Why does everybody hate Missouri?
No, I try not to think too much about Missouri.
See?
Myself.
See? Case in point.
Kansas State alum, so that probably helps that out. All right. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to the big football game on the weekend. I know college football. It's Texans-Bills. Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the factors that will determine if the Texans finish out at NRG Stadium on a rep in Houston or a rep in H-Town Sunday with a victory? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next on Sports Radio 610.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com